cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A father and a mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Purport. Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on the land, there's always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord. And one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord, although as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even those so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature. They have not been able to do so. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 13:9, that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. No so-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Tvadupekshitanam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in either the upper or lower planetary systems. It's from the 7th canto. In the 10th canto, also, it is said, Sangha Sritaye Padapalava Plavam Mahat Padam Punyusho Murare Bhavam Budir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yad Vipadam Natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. Their goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. And Prabhupada, actually, this is, well, I'll read the purport, but it's, This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 51. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, this verse summarizes the knowledge presented in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are described as pallava, flower buds, because they are most tender and of a pinkish hue. According to Srila Sanatan Goswami, the word pallava also indicates that Lord Krishna's lotus feet are just like desire trees, which can fulfill all the desires of the Lord's pure devotees. Even exalted devotees like Sri Narada, who are themselves the great shelter for the conditioned souls in this universe, personally take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Thus it is natural that when Lord Krishna manifested himself as all the young boys and calves of Vrindavan, their parents were more attached to them than previously. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and being all attractive, he's the ultimate goal of everyone's love. So that 951 purport states, owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place where there are dangers at every step. Out of ignorance only, less intelligent persons try to adjust to the situation by fruitive activities, thinking that the resultant actions will make them happy. They do not know that no kind of material body anywhere within the universe can make one happy. The miseries of material life, namely birth, death, old age, and diseases, are present everywhere within the material world. But one who understands his real constitutional position as the eternal servitor of the Lord, and thus knows the position of the personality of Godhead, engages himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Consequently, he becomes qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets, where there is neither material, miserable life, nor the influence of time and death. To know one's constitutional position means to know also the sublime position of the Lord. One who wrongly thinks that the living entity's position and the Lord's position are on the same level is to be understood to be in darkness and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. He becomes a Lord himself, and thus paves the way for the repetition of birth and death. But one who, understanding that his position is to serve, transfers himself to the service of the Lord, and at once becomes eligible for Vaikuntha Loka. Service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service to the Lord. So we are here for a very short time in this material world. Time flies by very quickly. I'm reminded of the great sage Loma Sharishi, who was practicing austerity and who lived for a very long time, lifetime of Brahma. He had, by his austerities, he had gained such longevity that he lived longer than anyone. So he had some disciples, and they saw that he was practicing austerity on the beach, doing his tapasya, bhajan, meditation. So they thought, let us make a kutir for him, a bhajan kutir. He has no house. At least let him shelter from the sun, and let us make some arrangement so that he can be a little bit more materially comfortable. He has such a long life. So they approached him and asked him if they could make him a bhajan kutir. And he said, why make so much effort? Life is so short. So really it is short, a very short duration. 100 years is nothing, and it flies by very quickly. So our business is to try to understand our constitutional position as servants of the Lord. We have jnana, That is the theoretical knowledge. We read Bhagavad Gita, and we understand that this is our position. We understand that we are spiritual beings. We learn a little bit how to discriminate between matter and spirit. That is called knowledge. That is how we are different from animals. The reason we are different from animals is that we can discriminate between matter and spirit, between temporary and eternal. Temporary activities related to the body and eternal activities related to the soul. We can discriminate the difference. Therefore, we are more elevated than the animals. Not because of some, not because we have four McDonald's burger joints in Bombay. That is not why we're more advanced than the animals. In fact, the animals end up in every burger joint that we make, so. But we are, this ability to discriminate is an opportunity. It is a facility. It is, theoretically, we can achieve realized knowledge. We can cut the knot of material affection. We can lift up the anchor that keeps us here in the material world. We can destroy lust, our all-devouring sinful enemy. We have the opportunity. It is within our grasp. But we have to take advantage of it. And in this short period of time, nothing is certain. Srila Prabhupada said that there are only two things that are certain in this material world. Money in the hand and the holy name. The only two things that are certain. And of those two, money in the hand nowadays is not very certain. Even if you have it, it's just paper. It may not be worth anything in a few months or years. So the holy name is the only thing, the only certain thing we have. Otherwise, all of our arrangements, our primary duty in life, the prema pumartho mahan, the highest occupation, the highest goal, the highest endeavor that we should achieve for is love of God. And we have many other things that we do because of our previous conditioning, because of some past desires, and we have to deal with them. Therefore, we have dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And we have various, we have varnashram dharma, basically. And in the Varnashram Dharma, we may not be very clear about Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. There's overlapping there. But at least we know Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and perhaps Sannyas. The ashramas are clear. There's no overlapping there. You can't be a Grihastha and a Sannyasi at the same time. There's no overlapping. You might be partially Brahmana, partially Vaishya, or something like that, but in ashramas, there's no overlapping. Your duty is clear what to do. So why are you accepting a particular ashram? Because of your attraction to a certain level of renunciation and because of some material desires that you want to dovetail in Krishna's service or to serve Krishna in that way. For example, Krishna says, Kamosmi Bharatarshaba. We can serve him by producing God-conscious children. But all of our arrangements for all these things are very tenuous, very shaky. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajuhu haripada nitire. Just like a drop of water on a lotus flower, on the leaf of a lotus flower in the morning when you see in the early morning as the sun is just coming up, there may be a slight breeze and there are beads of water on the lotus leaf, and at any second any one of those beads, tiny beads of water, it's called a bead, a little drop of water, call it a bead of water, so that bead can can slide off. It's that our material arrangements that we make for our roti, kapra, and makan, all those arrangements that we make, they're uncertain. We don't know. Therefore, it is said, Balasya neha sharanam pitarao nasimha nartasya chagadamudanvati majato nao. You have a family. You have children. You want to protect your children. Naturally, every parent loves their children. There's so many cars zooming around Bombay at horrific speeds. So many Formula One drivers out there trying to speed around in their new cello cars and their new Santras, and there's so many. They're all showing off their high-speed cars on their low-speed roads. But it's dangerous out there. You could get, you could get hurt, or your children could get hurt. Therefore, I see a lot more speed breakers coming up everywhere, you know, because people are worried. And it's a fact. You can make every arrangement. But there are many, many unlimited. There's a book called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Ripley's Believe It or Not, and tells all these fantastic stories about things that you may believe it or not believe it, but this happened. And parents can make all kinds of arrangements for their children, but if it's not, the arrangement of Krishna, then they won't be saved. If it's not the arrangement of Lord Nrisimhadev. If Lord Nrisimhadev neglects someone, then he's very much in danger. Just like in Bengali they say, Reki Krishna Marike Marike. No, what was that? Not Reki. Rake, not Reki. Rake Krishna Marike Marike Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna wants to do Reiki on someone, no. If Krishna wants to kill someone, then Krishna can do that. Nobody can protect. So we should take this very seriously, that we have a certain amount of time. We want to achieve our devotional goals, and we should go straight to the quick, straight to the essential matter. Cut away all the fat, all the useless activity that is not the essence. We shouldn't think that we have got a lot of time. A Vaishnava lives each day as if tomorrow is my last day. Maharaj Parikshit knew that he had 7 days. He was fortunate. We don't know. Today may be the last day. So in our activities, we should more and more concentrate on our chanting, quality chanting. More and more we should develop the mood of servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. It's very serious. Whatever we're reading about, we haven't got a lot of time to hum and haw. You know, opportunity knocks very rarely. We're so fortunate. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. When you become Bhagyavan after wandering through so many universes, just imagine for millions and millions and millions of years, each and every one of us, this is a fact, we've been wandering throughout the 8,400,000 species of life trying to find happiness, trying to find security, trying to find peace of mind, trying to find satisfaction. And now, after a long, long time, we've come to the human form of life. And even after wandering through the human form of life, there are so many species you can, not only on this planet, but others. But we've come to a situation where we've gotten the association of other Vaishnavas, and we've gotten the jewel of Krishna consciousness presented in such nice way by Srila Prabhupada. What a valuable opportunity. Now, who would waste this opportunity? Surely only the greatest miser. Yova etad aksharam garya vidit vashma lokat praiti sa kripana. Only a kripana. Very foolish person, having gotten this opportunity after such a long journey, getting this opportunity to become enlightened, to know the truth, to realize the truth, to become free from birth, death, old age, and disease, to rise up to a platform where there is no time, where there is no misery, there is no insecurity. Nadayana means the resting place where all of our desires are fulfilled. Krishna's lotus feet fulfill all our desires. So we should take advantage at every moment, every opportunity we get, wherever we find Krishna. It is said that if you hear that Krishna consciousness is to be purchased in the marketplace, immediately rush there and buy it. Whatever money you have in your pocket, whatever sincerity you have in your heart, Krishna consciousness is purchased by those who have no material desires. So immediately go there and give up your material desires and purchase Krishna consciousness and make your life successful. Material arrangements won't work. They won't work. Life is short, time is short, and you can't tell from moment to moment, believe me, what type of... We all go through ups and downs, good times and bad times. We all do. And we don't know what's around the corner waiting for us materially, what kind of test Krishna has for us. So don't depend on material things for your spiritual life, but become serious about Krishna consciousness. Very, very important. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Me Visitu Manasaraja Hansan Prana Prayama Samaye Kapapata Vittai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kataste. This verse is by Yamunacharya. Srila Prabhupada often quoted. His servant said that many times Prabhupada just was singing this sloka just while he was doing other things. Prabhupada translates it that, let me die now while I, you know, can chant, while I'm in good consciousness, while I'm strong. Most people are crying, you know, I don't want to die, let me live no matter what, no matter what condition they're in. But the Srimad Bhagavatam says that, what is the use of a long life without, you know, good consciousness, without self-realization? Like a tree. Trees live very long, right? I saw some trees in California. They're thousands of years old. Very big. They're huge. You can't see the top. Some of them are burned out, hollow inside. You can live inside. Sometimes they drive a car right through them. They live very long, but it's a tree. So better to have quality. So this Jamunacharya was praying like that. Let me die now before, you know, everything becomes all choked up and you can't chant. We want to chant because, like he said, surety, one thing is sure, Prabhupada said, one very sure thing. What is that? Huh? Death. Sure is death, they say. In America, they say death and taxes. If you get the money, then you have to pay tax. And the death will come. But the foolish people, Yudhisthira told Yamaraj there, they're thinking, it says, ahani ahani bhutani gachanti yamalaya, that although so many people, again and again, they have gone to the abode of Yama. They've gone and died, and they've seen their grandfather die and everyone die. Still, they're trying to make some permanent arrangement in this material world. They're thinking, it won't happen here. One man even told me that. He said, yes, my father died, my grandfather, but not me. Because the science is always promising, you know, something. They're bewildering people. They're going to make spare parts, and you can just keep replacing parts. Like in India, they keep a car or a bus going much longer than America, because they just keep replacing and exchanging. It never dies. Some part of it is always going on, right? But even if you could, this material body, if you live like a yogi or something, and but even Bhishma, he had a blessing. He could live. He didn't want to. After some time, he didn't like, you know, living in the material world with all its politics and problems. You know, he wanted to leave his body. But things are quite degraded. Maharaj was mentioning the ashrams. But there was, in the time of Lord Chaitanya, in Navadvip, it's mentioned, is very degraded at that time, before Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Advaita Prabhu was very distressed. The people were just, they didn't like the devotees. They criticized them like anything. They were making plans. They thought, you know, Srivas is just disturbing everything with his kirtans, and they would take his house and throw it in the Ganga. Just let it float away. They thought that, you know, he's religious and Hindu, and the Muslim government, they'll come and destroy the whole city because of him. So things were degraded. The people were simply busy with material arrangements, especially weddings. They were spending, they were very rich in Navadvip because they were very learned, and they would arrange huge weddings. Even for their dogs, they were very degraded. And there was a caste, there was a people called Grihastha Sannyasis. So one time, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, this still Nimai was young, they were walking from Navadvip to Shantipur to visit Advaita. And along the way there was one of these Grihastha Sannyasis, and he was like fortune teller or something, and he gave Ashirvad. People admired him. They were so degraded that they could accept this concept of a Grihastha Sannyasi. So Lord Chaitanya was very kind, so they visited him. And they had some talk. And he was offering benediction. He liked Nimai, he saw his face was so beautiful, everything about him was so attractive, and he was charmed. His good fortune. So he said, I'll give you Ashirvad. You know, you will become very rich, you can have many wives and children. You can enjoy like anything in the material world. So Nimai said, no! He said, why are you cursing me? Why don't you give me love of God? You know, why don't you give me a real benediction? So this man thought, this boy is young, he's foolish, you know. But he also thought maybe this Avaduta with him is, you know, polluting his mind, Nityananda. Because Nityananda was older and experienced. He'd been around all over India, he knew things. So he was trying to convince Nimai that you cannot, you know, first you have to enjoy the material world. You have to get rich, you have to have a big family, you have to have a lot of, you have to do everything. That was similar with the, like, Daksha, right? He was very upset because his sons, he said Narada Muni had deprived his sons of, you know, life. How could they make any progress if they didn't get a chance to enjoy material life? They were performing austerities, and he thought so they would become, you know, very capable of enjoying the material world very much. Anyway, they discussed, and Nityananda and Nimai went for their bath, and he had invited him to come back, you know, we'll have some prasad. So they came back, and Lord Chaitanya was so merciful. He visited this degraded person. So he was asking, you know, would you like some bliss? kept saying like that. And Nityananda would say, no, we don't need any bliss. And then Nimai said, what does he mean, bliss? So he told him, wine or whiskey or whatever. And then Lord Chaitanya was very distressed. And then they ran out. Nitai and Chaitanya ran out and jumped in the Ganga. And they swam to Shantipur. Because they wanted to get purified after such a person. But Lord Chaitanya was so kind. This was the condition. And nowadays, practically nobody, they have no ashrams. They don't know that there's very few people. They only have Grihastha ashram. And it's not, they have Grihamedi ashram, the mass of people. But we're trying to elevate ourselves and then elevate others to something better. We know that death is certain, so one has to be prepared at any moment. At any moment, death could come. Maharaj was saying this morning about our Trivikram Swami. He got some report that perhaps he had this cancer. And I didn't know about that, but he was in the room next to me in Mayapur, and he was chanting so much. All day and night, he was just walking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then he went to the hospital, and he said even when he was unconscious, so they could do some little surgery, he was chanting. This is how Krishna will protect the devotees. If we practice all the time, we have to live in the material world, but we have to take whatever is our quota. Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagacham jagat. Tena taktena bunjita magridaha kasyasina. Tena takta. One should take whatever is his quota and no more. And he doesn't have to take less. Some people have a big quota. Very rich. They have many family and business comes their way. Other people, they don't. But whatever we have, we should use it for Krishna. We should utilize this life. If we're fortunate to find out, like, who was that? Maharaj Katwanga? What was his name? He was fighting for the demigods for a long time, very heroic. Then they offered him a benediction. He said, I'd like to know, you know, how long do I have to live? So they told him only a few minutes. Death was coming. So he immediately went to the temple and he surrendered to Krishna everything. He didn't waste any time. He didn't ask for an extension. Didn't ask for another doctor. You know, that was a joke. 3 different religious people in America. So the doctor told them, "Oh, you all have a disease. You're going to die in, you know, a few weeks." So the one said, "Call the priest," and the other one something, and then another one said, "Now get me another doctor. Try to get a different opinion." But everybody should know, you know, this life is meant for Krishna. And it's very short. Even if we live our full 100 years maximum in Kali Yuga, it's not very long. So, but if we're practicing, you know, the chanting regularly, the sadhana, taking shelter of Guru and Gauranga, then when the time of death comes, Krishna will force himself into the consciousness so one can remember Krishna. Because whatever remember at the time of death, then we'll get the next life. And we'll remember whatever we're remembering in this life while we're living, whatever we're trying to remember, that is what we'll remember at the time of death. So we should hear, you know, about Krishna as much as possible. If one is not happy, just like Vyasadeva, he had done so much. Written all the Vedas, Puranas and Itihasas. Still he was despondent. He wasn't feeling satisfied. So he asked Narada Muni, his guru. And he told him, you have not, you know, properly glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his past. Even though he had glorified, throughout all the Vedas and Puranas, there's so much glorification of Krishna. But it's a small part of it. He said, you have to exclusively, you know, so told his story, then he, Vyasadeva, understood, and he made the Srimad Bhagavatam, which throws out all materially motivated religion, is simply dedicated to hearing and surrendering everything to Krishna. This is our great fortune that this is what we have. Srila Prabhupada has given everyone this Srimad Bhagavatam and nice temples, Radha Gopinath. Here is always very enlivening. Everyone likes to hear about Krishna. It's embarrassing, though, to speak here. Everybody is pure. But we try anyway. And we'll see in Bombay, we should have, you know, I don't know how many, for all the people, we have so many temples, right? Huh? If you had this many people and you had half the people of Bombay, then how many temples would you need? How many people here? 300-400? Huh? No, but in this room. Maybe. They might, you know. So many are coming that we cannot see. Right? But anyway, we need many, 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 many temples. So everyone has to become fixed up and able to, you know, carry on this mission to and push it on and hand it down so that everybody can go out all over the world and give Krishna to everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Swami. Thank you very much. Our most effulgently merciful guest, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj and His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj, have very penetratingly reminded us of the importance of recognizing the inevitable fate called death within each of our temporary lives. Death is Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita explains that He is death personified. In this material world, He is the seed-giving Father. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. All of our aspirations in life should always be calculated according to this principle, that death may come at any moment. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Whatever we are working to achieve in our life, that should always be there within our consciousness. If death comes, or when death comes, what value will this endeavor be to my eternal soul? Life is precious, moment after moment. Today is March 15th, 14th. Today is March 14th, but soon it will be March 15th. It is 1:57 in the year 1999. Within 1 minute, there will never again be, in the history of this universe, March 14th, 1:57, 1999. It is gone forever. To understand the value of each moment, how it cannot be bought back for millions upon millions of dollars, is proper intelligence. Thus, it is said by the great Vaishnavas that we should not wait for the annihilation of our physical body, which is called death, but we should die today. We should die to live. The conception of death is based on the false ego, ahankar. We think we are this body. We think we are this mind and intelligence. We think that we are the enjoyer of this environment of material existence. However, in truth, we are the eternal soul, the servant of Krishna. Our constitutional position is not to enjoy, but to be enjoyed. Not to exploit, but to serve. It is this egoistic conception that keeps us bound to the miseries of birth and death. Thus, we should die to this false ego now. Only when our ego dies do we achieve eternal life. As long as this false ego is alive, we have to die moment after moment, birth after birth. But how to kill this ego? This is the greatest challenge in life. This is the ultimate purpose of life. We cannot kill the ego, but we can kill the ignorance within the ego. Purify it to its pure state of Krishna consciousness. The previous avatars, Varaha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Ramchandra, Parasuram, Krishna, they killed many demons. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he killed the essence of what made people demoniac. He killed the false ego of even the biggest, most terrible demons. And in their very lives, had them dancing in ecstasy, in pure love of God, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
We should aspire for this type of death. In fact, Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. When we are willing to die for Krishna, then we will get Krishna. When we are willing to die at every moment for Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. This is the price. What if this life worth? It is only worth to whatever degree we can please Krishna through our words, our thoughts, and our actions. We should be eager only for the mercy of the Lord that is descending from the higher plane of the spiritual world. We should not take interest in that which is so freely available to all species of life within the lower plane of material enjoyment. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the consciousness of the Chataka bird. Chataka bird is always looking upward, never looks down, always waiting for that one drop of rain, will never accept any quantity of water from the earth. There are many different types of water on this earth. In the ocean, there is salt water. If you drink it, you will suffer and become terribly more thirsty. Water. If you drink it, you will get diseased, sick, and perhaps die. There is Bisleri water, which is just dirty, contaminated water that's probably just filtered to such an extent where there's not so much bacteria. But there is also crystal clear, beautiful ponds, lakes, streams, and rivers, where the water is full of all sorts of physically life-giving minerals and substances. It can create such nice health, tastes so sweet. The chatak bird does not consider himself with any of the varieties of water in this world. People in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, they are trying to enjoy the tastes of various reservoirs of pleasure within this manifestation of material existence. But the chatak bird, he knows that they're all available at every moment of all varieties. But he rejects it. He looks toward the clouds. Sometimes during the summer season, there's no water at all. Sometimes the chatak bird is waiting weeks, months, years for that drop to fall. Still, the earth is offering everything, but he will not accept. Sometimes the cloud, instead of giving water, throws a thunderbolt upon his head, makes him suffer terribly. Meanwhile, here on earth, everyone, the whole society of every other type of bird, in fact, all species of life are saying, come and enjoy. Why do you subject yourself to such starvation, to such abuse? Come. Look at how much water is here. It's everywhere. But he will not turn his head in that direction. Freezing colds, scorching winds. He's so eager, attentive, waiting for that one drop to come. Krishna treats his devotee in such a way at times to test, do we want his mercy or do we want the substitutes provided within this material existence? Sometimes Krishna will give you nothing. From within you're drying out. You're lonely. You have no love of God. You have such little experience of the spiritual plane. Sometimes we feel that we are nothing. We have nothing. That Krishna has forsaken us. And meanwhile, everyone in this world is encouraging, please come, enjoy, look at what we have. If we look at what they have, we will never get Krishna. Sometimes people in this world appear to be enjoying so much forms of satisfaction. And our life is aimed at Krishna and Krishna only. We're looking for bliss. The soul wants the ecstasy of love. And instead, Krishna throws thunderbolt at us. He puts us in a situation where everything is falling to pieces. Miserable condition. Will we at that time take shelter of the opportunities of this world? Or will we, with patience and determination of the Chatak bird, continue to be eager for the mercy of the Lord? Aslisya bapadaratam panashtu mama darshana marmahatam kurotuma yatadatatam adatatu lambatomat pranadatastu seva napara. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has prayed, "My Lord, if you like, by your sweet will, you may be present before me and give me the nectar of your sweet darshan. Or you may make me brokenhearted by not revealing yourself to me. You may embrace me, or you may trample upon me. You may do, my Lord, whatever you like, because you are the free, independent, supreme knower of everyone's heart. And you know what everyone needs. Whatever you do is out of your love and compassion. Therefore, I will accept every situation in the spirit of your humble servant." This quality of dying to all of the lower desires of our ego and living only in the eager anticipation of receiving Krishna's mercy, that is Krishna consciousness. That is the qualification required to achieve the spiritual world. To remember Krishna at the time of death is not easy. It can only happen by Krishna's own mercy. Krishna cannot be seen by our empiric abilities to learn, to understand, to intellectualize. He cannot be purchased by the money that we work hard to earn in this world. He cannot be caught even by the fastest runner and the greatest athletes. He cannot be attracted by the most beautiful, beautiful bodily features. Krishna cannot be experienced by anyone except that person who he, by his own sweet, merciful will, reveals himself to. And what is the qualification? To be eager for Krishna. And to cultivate that eagerness for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. They are opposite. To come to the plane of enjoying sense gratification means to look away from that dark cloud, Shyam Sundar. To look away from the expectation of his mercy. To again enjoy the pools of material enjoyment within this world. They may taste like nectar in the beginning, but it is the Creator's promise. It will taste like poison in the end. Whereas the tapasya of expressing our sincere commitment to Krishna, it may taste like poison at the beginning, but Krishna promises it will taste like nectar in the end. The subjects of material propaganda induce people's consciousness more and more and more to serve the illusory energy and to suffer. The subject matter of Harikatha brings our consciousness upward to Krishna. Thus, Srimad Bhagavatam explains how we must be very eager to hear about Krishna. We must be eager to chant the names of Krishna, eager to associate with devotees of Krishna, eager to serve the Lord and His devotees. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami goes to the extent of calling this eagerness lobha or greed. Everyone in this world is greedy for something. We should become greedy for Krishna, eager for Krishna. If we do not feel it, we should practice being eager for Krishna as an austerity. When we are chanting our japa, we should be eager to please Krishna by somehow or other being attentive to the sound of His name, to actually remember Him while we are chanting. When we are sitting in the class, we should be eager for Krishna's mercy to purify our hearts and intelligence by the subject matter. We should be eager to read the books. We should be eager to speak Krishna Katha. Machchata madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantashtamam nityam tushanti sarvanti cha. Krishna says, my devotees, they are eager, they are enlivened, they are inspired to enlighten one another on the subject of the topics of me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this process. Throughout the day, throughout the night, he would be with his devotees, hearing the glories of the Lord, speaking the glories of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. If we are not eager to serve, if we do not cultivate carefully this service attitude, then all of our hearing and chanting will be more or less futile, because it will not attract Krishna. So let us cultivate the principle of dying every moment for Krishna. That means giving our life for Krishna. Unconditionally. That is our goal. That is what Srila Prabhupada so kindly has given us. This aspiration in our life. To be the servant of the servant of the servant, to hear the glories and chant the glories of the Lord, is our everything. Every other aspect of our life within our varna or ashram is simply to facilitate, an increased desire to serve, to hear and to chant. And if our occupational, social duties do not cultivate a greater eagerness to serve the Lord and His devotees, to hear and chant the Lord's names and glories, Shamevahi Kevalam, then it is all waste of time. Now it is 2:19. March 14th, 1999. Since 1:57, all those missed minutes, all those seconds are forever gone. That much of your life is expired. Time waits for no man. So let us together help one another to develop this intensity. Krishna consciousness is intense. It is not just a comfortable arrangement by which you could live happily to some extent and then die with devotees around you. Krishna consciousness is an intense experience. Bhagavad Gita was spoken on battlefield. It was an intense moment for Arjuna. And that is when Krishna revealed the highest truth to him. So even if everything is so nice, we should be intense. That doesn't mean we just chastise people around us and make aparads. That means we are intense to serve, intense to hear, intense to chant. And if everything goes the other way, against our wishes and expectations, physical, mental, anguish, disappointment, disillusionment, so many insurmountable difficulties confronting us, individually, collectively, we should be intensely eager to serve. We are not attached to the fruits of our action, because whatever happens in this world, the waves of time will erase it all. Whatever people may think about you, it will all be erased by the hands of time. All that remains is the eagerness that we have to please Krishna as the servant of his servant. The eagerness we derive from that experience to take shelter of his name, to take shelter of his pastimes, to take shelter of his beautiful form, to take shelter of his holy dham, to take shelter of his most opulent qualities, and to take shelter of his dear devotees. Human life is that opportunity to take shelter. The moment is given now. In reciprocation to the wonderful, wonderful discourses just given by His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, His Holiness Kavi Chandra Maharaj, let us awaken to the reality of the truth of life and surrender to Krishna. Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim na namaskuru. Mami vaishashi shatyam te prati jane priyoshime. To always think of Krishna. To become Krishna's devotee, to worship Him and offer homage unto Him is our only duty in life. And to fill the world with the bliss of the spiritual sky, in which the land of Vrindavan is eternally awaiting all of us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us direct entrance through the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj wants to speak some words.
I have a question. Now, from 157 to 224, there's been a video camera trained on you. Now, can't we relive those moments again and again and again if we want to by watching that video?
Yes, you can, but you'll have to give a donation to the Radha Gopinath Bhakti Samaj Tape Ministry. If you want the video. We should always remember Krishna by any means. Whenever we read Krishna book, it's something like watching the video of Krishna's Leela 5,000 years ago. That is fact. But better, because the screen is not just particles of light on a piece of glass, but it is a transcendent reality within the screen of our heart. That is what takes place when we hear the glories of the Lord. However, we should know that our life is going away. At every moment, it is expiring.
Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ayur Horiti Vaipum Sun, that every rising and setting of the sun is decreasing the lifespan, taking time off, except for those who are absorbed in hearing the glories of the Lord. Because they're in the, that when we're hearing the glories of the Lord, we're not exactly in the material world. The body will end, but the activity can go on, chanting the glories of the Lord, chanting the name of the Lord. Like Haridas Thakur, he told them, you can kill me, but I won't stop chanting. They wanted him to stop chanting. He said, you can't stop that. Even if you kill me, I'll keep chanting. His special feature.
Any questions? So we will chant. Today's children program, so we should end early. So with this thought in mind, that this may be the last kirtan in your life, you should be very enthusiastic, very eager to hear, eager to fill the world with the sound of the holy name. And most of all, as we are chanting and hearing, we should be taking shelter of the process in a mood of the humble servant of the Lord.